This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back to a Burgundy and Gold Game Day on The Fan, presented by Rood. Is your cooling system letting you down? Score a touchdown with Rood and experience peak performance. Dominate the season with unmatched cooling power and visit RUUD.com. If it ain't Rood, it ain't right. Brian Baldinger will join us in just about 20 minutes, coming up at 7:20. But it's time now to hit the skins. That's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Well, then grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case there's skins hitting? Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. Grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You get 10% off. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you great. Great.
All right, boys. Obviously, a massive matchup tonight. I assume... Everybody has an Amazon Prime deal at this point. I mean, if you don't, I don't blame you. God bless you. That means you don't have packages coming into your house every day. You could still watch the game locally on Fox 5. If you're in Philadelphia, for whatever unknown reason, you can watch it on Fox 29. 8:15 start tonight. I'm actually going to be in the unenviable position of watching this game in my car tonight. Driving to New York.
Hold on, can't leave until Dina's driving and you're watching?
Yes.
And that's the dynamic?
Yes.
Our guy Bobby Blicky from Surfside actually offered tickets to go. I can't go up to Philadelphia.
I love Bobby Blicky, but does he understand that we have a little something called work the next day? I mean, it's very nice of him. It's a very nice
offer. Of all the stadiums I'd want to go to, that might be at the bottom of the list. Like, why do I want to go there and get beat up?
Yeah, I mean, why do you want to get assaulted by Philly fans?
I have to be like an undercover Skins fan.
Some people love it.
Huh?
Yeah. Some people love it.
I know.
They want to be the center of attention, relishing it.
I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah, I don't need that.
I went
Would
there.
You go to Pittsburgh and all your purple? Like, you like that kind of thing?
I mean, I wouldn't wear my jersey because, number one, it's signed and someone would just spill Iron City beer
like
on
nacho
it.
Nacho cheese on it.
Yeah, on purpose.
Yeah.
But I'd wear like a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went a few years ago. Dylan, one year, was an Eagles fan. It was some weird bit. I think because
poor parenting.
I didn't know. I think Kelsey loves the
cake's good point.
Kelsey loves the Commanders so much. I think he resented sharing the Burgundy and Gold room with the Brian Arakpo fathead.
Hey, man, so got him still up on Kelsey.
You got a McNabb fathead.
Kelsey's out of college, man. Can you get me on this wall?
But I would say, like, if you just go, you can wear your shirt or hat. If you just sit there, you're fine.
It's fine. I just wouldn't want to deal with the random ridicule.
In one ear, out the other.
I guess. It just wouldn't be the place I would go.
I thought it was a fine stadium.
Did you see Silver Linings Playbook? I mean, the Eagles fans are fighting with each other in that movie, not even with opposing fans.
Quit making movie references.
You didn't see the movie. I know. It's a running bit, JP. You don't understand.
Yeah. He looked at you with the blankest stare.
I know he's not going to know the reference.
Yeah, I'm not big into that. Silver Linings Playbook, but that was Bradley Cooper.
Jennifer Lawrence.
I know from the hype.
It's actually a really good movie.
But I didn't go see it. all right, so massive game. We talked about it earlier. B-Rob's going to play. Lattimore out. Austin Seibert out. that there's a special teams guy. I forget his name. They signed him. He's out. So, you know, not a full strength, but better. You know, one thing about Lattimore being out is we haven't even had him yet. So, you know, if we have him down the stretch run, I think that'll be just fine.
I'm semi-terrified for what A.J. Brown is going to do to the secondary. Even though the secondary's been better over the past few weeks, slightly better, I just feel like primetime spot. He's had his way with this team in the past. Now, that was with Emmanuel Forbes covering him one-on-one without help, which is idiotic and insane. But I just feel like he's going to be a big factor.
So he's played four games against the Commanders.
Yeah.
23 catches, 397 yards, five touchdowns in four games.
Right. Who is this?
A.J. Brown.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so far he's actually got I think this seems like a low number, only 28 catches on the year. He's got 553
yards. I believe I heard this correctly. The Eagles are throwing the ball the least of any team in the NFL.
Also, he's had injuries.
Because they're running the ball so effectively with Barkley and Hurts, especially during this five-game win streak.
Right.
They don't need to put the ball in the
air.
So
AJ's only played in six games, so they're targeting him an average of almost seven times per game.
Yeah.
Of course, we all remember last year, Manny Forbes just basically incapable of covering him.
Right.
I don't know who's going to get that assignment.
I would guess because of his physicality.
St. Juice
probably draws that assignment.
A.J. Brown's the one, but Devontae Smith's really good, too. He's also had success against Washington in six games, 34 catches, 479 yards, three touchdowns.
Now, the good thing if you're a Commanders fan there is he had a dud last week, and he's dealing with a hamstring injury.
Yes.
So I think he was a limited participant in practice yesterday. I think he's going to go, but I don't think he's 100%.
Will they even?
Hopefully, he's not as effective as he has been in years past.
Will they even bother to cover Jahan Dotson kicks?
Well, I just don't know how often Dotson's going to be on the field.
He's played in every game. He's played game. How many only got 15 targets.
How many snaps is he getting? Like, what's his target? His target share has to be.
He's getting
minuscule.
1.5 targets per game.
Yeah, it's borderline laughable.
But JP mentioned Devontae Smith. He's got 37 catches on 50 targets, four touchdowns. The touchdown guys are obviously Jalen Hurts, four touchdowns rushing, Saquon Barkley. I'm wrong about that. 10 touchdowns rushing. Saquon, six touchdowns rushing. Jalen is thrown for 12 touchdowns, almost 2,000 yards. Saquon's on pace for what looks like, through nine games, he's got 991 yards, essentially 1,000. Looks like he's on pace for, I'd say, about 1,800 yards.
It's not a bad season.
If he's able to stay healthy, 1,800 yards and like 12 touchdowns.
Pretty amazing stat on Hurts. He has at least one touchdown pass, rushing touchdown, and a 100-plus rating in four straight games. First quarterback in NFL history to accomplish that.
Yeah. In three of his last four games against us, against Washington, he's thrown for 340 and 3, 319 and 2, and 319 and 4.
Right.
Three of his last four starts against us. Mm-hmm. So Jalen kind of licks his chops. Again, here's a good trivia question for you. When was the last time Saquon rushed for over 100 yards against us? Ooh, how about 5 years ago?
I feel like you're kind of jinxing them with that stat.
You're
putting it out there.
I kind of like to taunt him a little bit.
Yeah.
I've done this because he's never really. A couple years, when he first came in the league, he destroyed us a little bit. But he hasn't rushed for 100 yards since 2019.
But the Eagles have so many weapons.
Like, I get it.
He could rush 15 times for 90 yards, score a touchdown. Hurts could rush for 60 and add a touchdown on the ground. And then they a few passes to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and they're looking at 28 to 30 points on the board.
Now, he's been a different player this year. He's got four games where he's gone over 100 yards, and those games have been big, just rushing. He had 147 in week three against the Saints. He had 176 in his return against the Giants. 108 on 22 carries against Cincinnati. He went wild against Jacksonville Cakes. He had 159 there, plus another 40 receiving.
Mm-hmm. He also missed his opener. He had over 100 yards there. So he's had five games where he's gone for over 100.
I missed that early on. And he had 159 against Jacksonville.
Guy's averaging almost 6 yards a carry. Now, traditionally, I know that you've said this about Saquon because we've faced him so many times. You feel like he's an all-or-nothing
guy. Last week, he had 66.
He can rip off long ones for sure. I think he's been more consistent this year.
There's no doubt about it. Like, I'm not disrespecting him. I'm just trying to find any angle I can.
It's going to be a huge task. Like, I think Philly's going to get in the 30s.
Well, if that's the case, then hopefully the Commanders are also in the 30s.
Right. I just logged into FanDuel. I see Cousin Sal. You want to bet with Cousin Sal on FanDuel?
My first question is, who is Cousin Sal?
I thought you might know, Cakes.
I don't know who this Cousin Sal is. Am I missing something
here? If you want to take this bet, they've got a little parlay here. You could go over the 43.5.
Okay. I like that.
That's an alternate, though.
Yeah, that has to be an alternate spread,
that
right?
That seems low, right? Anytime touchdown from Jalen Hurts. This is a very Philly-centric
yeah, it is.
Bet. Under 226 passing from Jaden and over 90 yards rushing for Saquon. If you like that, if you want some sort of emotional hedge, $10 bet wins 78. It's plus 780. $100
cousin,
bet wins 780.
Cousin Sal, I had to double check because I thought it was right. He's Jimmy Kimmel's cousin.
Okay.
And he became kind of famous as Jimmy Kimmel's guy. And I think he's on Fox now.
I watch Jimmy Kimmel as much as I watch C-SPAN at this point, which is zero.
If you're interested in any anytime touchdown wagers tonight to keep you interested, okay, B-Rob, anytime touchdown in his return, plus 140.
Ooh.
Terry, who I've been riding lately, but he didn't get me one last week, plus 180.
Drabby, do you want to weigh in on your nugget with the plus 180 on Terry McLaurin, why that's probably a bad bet?
Why is that a bad bet?
You dropped on us during the break?
Well, I mean, Terry's been playing out of his mind, and it's been fun to watch.
He didn't get one last week.
I know, but he gets so many targets and so many big catches down the field that, I mean, he's playing great. It's awesome. But I am intrigued by the start from Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback from the Eagles, who was the first-round draft pick, I believe, out of Toledo. He really blew up last year and had a great senior bowl in Mobile. But I was reading something that said his coverage stats are better than Sauce Gardner's as a rookie.
Mm.
And you only
That's
have
impressive.
A 23%.
And he'll be on Terry?
I'm guessing only a 23% completion percentage when targeted.
Mm-hmm.
How about to counter that, Terry's having an unbelievable year. In fact, I saw this from the 33rd team yesterday, retweeted it at Chunks Radio. He has the highest, Terry McLaurin, catch rate over expected out of any player in any season over the past 6 years.
In other words, on contested type balls, that kind of
basically,
thing? Basically. Yeah.
You know, certain it includes all the catches, so you're expected to catch ones that are right at you, but you're not necessarily expected to catch, you know, these low probability things, and he's bringing down everything. He's plus 14.6% in catch rate over expected.
Do you like Jaden Daniels? So he's plus 180 to score a touchdown. Do you like Jaden Daniels plus 210?
No.
Eckler,
I like to rush it in.
Yeah. All right. How about this one? How about this on a flyer? Anytime touchdown. This would totally, I mean, this is the epitome of a gamble.
Okay.
But he might be due for one. Diami plus 900.
I don't know if I love that.
You hate that? What if you just catch him long on one, you know, just catch him sleeping?
All he had to do was catch one last week. It was right in his hands.
Yeah, I mean, he had a layup last week.
Are you sure that's anytime or is that first TD?
No, anytime.
9-1, especially.
Don't you think that's pretty good?
Like, yeah, sure. Yeah.
I kind of like that. Even if you just put $10 to win 90.
Do it. I'll chop it with you.
Okay.
It's got one this year.
Okay.
Put like 50 on it. Don't put, because you're going to be salty when it hits. It's just for $10. It's 90.
No, 50 would fill up my account. I only got like 200 in my account.
You need to start building that thing up.
I like to manage my account, Case.
Understood.
Let me just see if I can give you any other.
Solid bankroll management.
I like that one, though. Don't you think that? I mean, that's a good flyer.
Yeah.
If you want a flyer.
He's the deep threat. And if everyone's focusing on Terry.
Terry? Yeah. Right, why didn't he just run something and
automatic focus?
Catch him in a blitz?
Boom.
Diami streaking down the sideline? Boom.
Do
Valdez and I chopping 45
Put it in
bucks.
Right now. Put it in during the break.
Right.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk more NFL. We'll talk more Commanders and Eagles with Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider. He's next. And don't forget Dave Richard. He'll join us coming up at 8 o'clock. Welcome back.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
To an Open Line Thursday, it's brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search is over, my friends. Search WindowNation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. We'll be joined shortly by Brian Baldinger. Dave Richard is on deck at 8 o'clock to talk fantasy football. So lots still to get to on the show. And we are now joined by Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. It is game day. Good morning, Baldy. How are you?
Good morning, guys. It's good to be with you, man. It is game day.
Yeah.
Can't wait for tonight's action.
Yeah. Before we get to that, I want to look back at the Steelers game with the Commanders, because I thought you did a great breakdown on Patrick Queen, and I'm wondering if there's a Patrick Queen on the Eagles. Like, how did they contain Jaden Daniels, the Steelers?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think this was a game where Jaden ran the fewest times. I think he only ran three times. Mm-hmm. And the one time that, you know, he did, you know, run a true dialed-up read option play, Patrick Queen flattened him to the sideline. He couldn't turn the corner. He'd been turning the corner on just about everybody. So Queen kind of showed his speed right there. But I believe that, I mean, I know, you know, Jaden obviously had the bad ribs after the Carolina game. He looked a lot better against Chicago, but I don't know that he's running as freely as he did earlier in the year, certainly not as many times. And that might be by design, and maybe it's because of the ribs. I don't know, but I know they look a little bit more dynamic when he takes off with it.
Baldy, how big is the return of Brian Robinson Jr. to the backfield for the Commanders? Because, look, Austin Ekeler, he fills in admirably. He still has a really good skill set, but it's clear that the team doesn't want to give him too many touches. That's why they sprinkle in Rodriguez and Jeremy McNichols. But now they've got the workhorse type back. B-Rob is back. How do you see that impacting the Commanders' offense tonight?
Oh, it's big. I mean, Brian, you know, I mean, he's running back number one. And it goes through him. And, you know, he runs with power. He runs with authority. He's a big back. I mean, those guys, there's not a lot of them out there that have that kind of power that can wear down a defense. And so I'm just looking at the Eagles and who they played recently. They really haven't seen a back like that. They didn't get Chubb. Jacksonville doesn't have a back like that. Dallas doesn't have a back. I mean, they haven't really played many teams that have a back that can really help you the way Brian can. And, you know, I mean, they want to run the ball. They're a run first team. And so if you can wear a team down, if you can get to the fourth quarter in a tight game like they were last week, it's good to have a back like that that's going to break some arm tackles.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So you mentioned some of the Eagles' recent opponents in their 5-game win streak. Not a lot of good teams in that bunch. I would put the Bengals as a good team out of those five. Like, how much do you raise your eyebrow at what they've done in the past five games because of the caliber or poor caliber of the opposition.
Well, I hold my breath. I mean, they got a nice record, you know, obviously 7-2, but I've done a couple of those games. I watch all of them. I live in Philadelphia. They could have easily lost the Jacksonville game. I mean, Trevor Lawrence got the ball 1st and 10, you know, at the 15-yard line to win it. He throws an interception in the end zone, a poor throw. They were booing Nick Sirianni against Cleveland. They could have easily lost the New Orleans game. I mean, there's games where, you know, they've really been close and had to find a way to pull it out against bad teams. And so I think Washington is maybe the best all-around team, best coach team that they have played. And so they can't flitter away points on two-point tries and not taking field goals when they're there early in games and some of the things that they've done where it's they made the games a lot closer than they needed to be.
Speaking of coaching, so Sirianni's record as a head coach, it's pretty damn good. I think his winning percentage is close to 70%, but he seems to get mocked all the time. You're talking about being in Philadelphia. What makes him not necessarily a great coach?
Well, I mean, look, he started off 2 years ago, 8-0, the year before, 10-0, went to a Super Bowl, been to the playoffs every year. But there was a lot. There was a second half of collapse of the season last year where nobody had any answers for what went wrong. They did change the coordinators this year. They got a nice record this year. But there's just in-game decisions where he just makes you scratch your head. And there seems to be some level of disconnect with some of the players and some of the things that occur during games that people want to put on him, some of his post-game comments. So there's a little bit in question. But at the same time, you can't deny his overall, what you said, winning percentage and what he's done in the postseason. Now, last year did not finish well, and there was a lot of questions about it. But, you know, they decided to change coordinators. It was the right move. Kellen Moore's doing a really good job. And I think Vic Fangio's molding a really young defense that has a lot of good players.
Hey, Baldy, after A.J. Brown, it seems a little bit fragile for the Eagles' passing game because Devontae Smith dealing with a hamstring injury. Goddard's been banged up as well. It turns out that they don't really need to pass a lot because they've run the ball so effectively. But how do you see that playing out outside of A.J. Brown in the passing game tonight for the Eagles? How do you see the involvement for Smith and Goddard?
Well, Goddard just got back. He makes a difference. He's a big target. He's a really good player. Really good blocker. He runs well after the catch. So he's important. The passing game goes through A.J. Brown. He's the number one target. He's their deep threat. And he's missed some time this year. They didn't play particularly well when he wasn't in the lineup. Devontae Smith picks it up when he's not there. I don't know the status for A.J. For Devontae tonight, but I know this. That guy'd be a number one receiver on a whole lot of teams in this league right now. He would be very close to what Terry McLaurin is. For the Commanders, pretty similar type players, really tough, really smart, really good hands. So Devontae is he's valuable. If he's healthy tonight, he makes a big difference.
And why has Jahan Dotson not been able to kind of produce anything near the kind of numbers he did here in Washington the first couple seasons? Too much talent?
He doesn't get targeted much. He got a big pass last week on the sideline for, I don't know if it was 38 or 40 yards. He caught a big pass against Jacksonville. I mean, he probably doesn't have 10 catches this year. They just don't use him a lot. They prefer to go their run-first team, obviously. Well, not obvious, but they are one of those teams that like to do that. And then they'll throw to A.J., to Devontae, and to Goddard. And if there's anything left over, they'll kind of sprinkle it around for Jahan right now. But he's not a big part of the offense. He's not on the field a lot.
So defensively, when Washington first kicked off this year, after a few series, I was like, oh, man, this is really going to be a struggle. We look awful. But I have to admit that they've played better. I mean, they're certainly not a dominating defense by any stretch. But they've played better. And a revelation for me has been Dante Fowler, who's had 8.5 sacks. How do you see the defense, matching up? Well, I think even though they've had some close games and some squeakers, I think it's pretty formidable, that offense.
True. They gave up 9 touchdown passes in the first 3 games, and I thought it's going to be just exactly what we saw last year.
Right.
They're going to give up more touchdown passes than anybody in the league, I thought. And then they really fixed it outside of the game winner to Mike Williams last week. He got behind St. Juice. But, you know, for the most part, the overall defense, I think Frank Louvo and Bobby Wagner have really solidified the inside linebacker positions. Frank is an electric player. He's a good blitzer. He's a good tackler. He's just an electric player.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Wagner gives stability. But, yes, I think, you know, what Dante Fowler or Torrance Armstrong, some of these guys are doing off the edge is more than I thought we thought they could do, because they're basically just backup players the last few years at Dallas and didn't have to do much. But they have certainly contributed and given them some pass rush that they need. Now, they still like to blitz to get their rush. They love to blitz their linebackers. Kind of expose them in the back end. It'll be interesting to see what they do to Jalen Hurts today, because you have to find some way to play your pass defense. But I'm not saying you have to spy Jalen Hurts, but you better account for him on every play, because when you don't, he really is a great runner.
So, Baldy, tonight you have a matchup of the NFC East halves in the Eagles and the Commanders. On the at the bottom of the standings are the Cowboys and the Giants, whose record is flip-flop. They're combined 5-14, and the Cowboys season has gone completely sideways with Dak now undergoing surgery, done for the season. That was a fragile offense, even with Dak and CeeDee Lamb, and we've seen where that's gone. And the Giants, I mean, losing to the Panthers overseas in Munich, that was an embarrassment, losing that game. They head into their bye. Talk about the bottom half of the division and how that plays out for the rest of the season for those teams.
Well, it's awful. I mean, it's as bad as the NFC East has been. And to have two bottom feeders like that, literally playing for, I don't know, draft positioning right now to go get themselves perhaps a quarterback. I mean, I would think that's got to be priority number one for the Giants, the way Daniel Jones has played. He's not played well. They've got other issues on the team, but it starts with the quarterback. He doesn't see the field well. He doesn't see plays that are there to be made. And then when he does try to make a play, they kind of get blown up a lot. They've been in a lot of games, and the quarterback has to play better to win those games. It's not just him. There's other pieces to go around there. They found some really good young talent. Tyrone Tracy and Malik Nabers are really good young players. But for the Cowboys, I didn't think it was a good roster. When free agency hit last year and the Eagles were getting all these players and the Commanders were bringing in all these, you know, proven players, and the Cowboys did nothing, and it showed up this year. Especially when their best player, Micah Parsons, got hurt and was out for a month. They haven't played well. They're not a good and a talented roster, and the record reflects it right now.
Talking to Brian Baldinger, Odyssey's NFL insider, you mentioned Daniel Jones not seeing the field very well, and I'm wondering your perspective when you look at the film on Caleb Williams. He gets sacked 9 times last game. I think it was Matt Hasselbeck say, well, 6 of those were on the quarterback. What do you see from Caleb? What's gone wrong? Obviously, they fired the offensive coordinator, but it can't just be the OC.
No, it's not. It's not. There's plenty to go around, including the head coach. The offense line is below average, but they protected pretty well the other day. I mean, the first pass of the game is a max protection scheme. He's got the biggest pocket I've ever seen, and he's just holding the ball, and they got 2 receivers down the field, and he decides just to hold it, and there doesn't seem to be any kind of an outlet if those guys are covered down the field. The offense didn't make sense from the beginning. It's predicated upon the receivers that everybody bragged about this offseason, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze. It's predicated upon those 3 receivers winning one-on-ones, and they simply weren't winning last week against the Patriots. And so Caleb was holding the ball a lot. Now, he's guilty of holding it too long and not seeing the field well enough, but the design doesn't make sense. It never did. 3rd and 3s. They love to throw, you know, spray fades 20 and 30 yards down the field, which are low percentage throws. And I didn't think the receivers played particularly hard and were particularly good. So they were 1 for 14 on 3rd downs, and you could sprinkle in a whole lot of blame on all of it. And really, outside of maybe one play where the Patriots, you know, got a free hitter to Caleb Williams, you could say that it was the coordinator, it was receivers, and it was the quarterback. And they were all probably equally bad.
Baldy, I think your most surprising team, obviously, in the NFC is the Commanders and what they're doing. The second most, maybe the Vikings are tied with this team. The Cardinals have surprised me with what they've done, especially in the last 4 weeks. They've won 4 straight, and in their last 2, they held the Bears to 9. I know their offense is a mess, but they were an underdog at home, and they thumped the Jets 31-6. So they've held their last two opponents to 15 points. Kyler Murray, he's kind of been up and down, but he had a really good game. I think two incompletions in the Jets game. They get a bye, and then they have two big ones coming out of the bye at the Seahawks, at the Vikings. This looks like a potential playoff team in Arizona.
Oh, I think they are. I mean, I think they're going to win the NFC West. They're well coached. They don't beat themselves. The 49ers, you know, special teams blow up every week on them. I don't think they're a great defense right now. The Rams thought they were going to turn the corner last week, and then, you know, they couldn't score a touchdown against the Dolphins. This Arizona team isn't anywhere near the team that you guys blew out earlier in the year. They have really improved a lot. And I think the reason why I kind of think that they can win this division is while Marvin Harrison has six touchdown catches, he's been largely invisible in most games. And I just don't think that's going to continue. I think that if Marvin Harrison steps up and starts to play and contribute the way some other rookie receivers have, Ladd McConkey, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., if he steps up in the second half of the season, this offense is going to have a little more juice than they've had. But they can run it and have run it very, very well. The offense line has been healthy and it's protected. And Kyler just keeps getting better. And they play very, very hard. So they're well coached and they play hard and they don't beat themselves. You win a lot of games like that.
Couple of huge AFC matchups this weekend, Baldy. How do you see the Steelers-Ravens game going? They've played each other a million times. And the Bills-Chiefs. Bills always do well in the regular season. But in the postseason, obviously, Mahomes has Josh Allen's number.
Yeah. So I'm going to be in Pittsburgh Sunday. I can't wait. It's going to be – I always tell people that rivalry, the Steelers and the Ravens, is just played at a different level of violence and a different level than the other rivalry in the NFL. It's just different. It doesn't mean it's going to be a great game, but I do think that Pittsburgh is a really solid football team right now, more solid than Baltimore. I know, you know, Washington took them right to the brink last week and needed a big play, but they've got everything it takes right now. They've got a good receiving core, a quarterback that's playing well. They've got a running game. The rookie linemen that they're starting don't look like rookies anymore. And then defensively, they're very talented and deep. So I have questions about Baltimore secondary. I've had it all year, and I think that could get exposed in this game Sunday. And look, Buffalo is a really, really good football team. I think, you know, can keep finding ways to win, and that's a credit to Andy Reid and to their staff. But I think Buffalo is an overall. I know I'm going against Patrick Mahomes right here, and that's never works out good.
That's not smart.
Josh Allen's playing really good, and the offensive line is one of the three best offensive lines in all of football. And I'm not particularly with Kansas City Chiefs offensive tackles. They got ruined last week by Denver, and Buffalo has the same ability to do that and to get to Mahomes and to affect him.
Baldy, enjoy your time in Pittsburgh. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet, guys.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Enjoy it tonight.
Yep. All right, yeah,
thank you. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. Don't forget Dave Richard. He'll answer your fantasy football questions for Week 11, which starts tonight as the Eagles take on the Commanders. He'll be on the show at 8 o'clock. All right, all of you fantasy footballers out there, get your questions gathered and ready, because in about 15 minutes, Dave Richard from CBS Sports will join us. It's an important week. It's Week 11. Most fantasy football leagues, they end their regular season in Week 14, and then they play their playoffs Weeks 15 through 17. So it's do or die time. So get your questions ready for Dave Richard.
Wanted to say, EB, you know how when the Commanders play on a Thursday, then you don't have them to look forward to on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Sunday does have back-to-back mega games. So you've got Ravens-Steelers, 1 o'clock, mm-hmm. and then the Chiefs-Bills, 4:30, or whenever they actually do the kickoff.
I mean, that's cool. It's just not as exciting to me as watching my guys. And it's just next level.
Got to watch the burgundy and gold.
And I have to tell you, so you know, like Lurch has Taco Tuesday. What does he do on Wednesday?
I think it's Sushi Wednesday.
Sushi Wednesday.
Generally, yeah.
I'm having Root Canal Thursday.
Oh, no.
Root Canal Thursday.
Never good.
That'll be at noon today.
High noon.
And then after that, we'll pick my daughter up from school. She may have a workout she has to do. And then we head to New York. I'll be watching the game in the car.
What time are you hitting the road on the way to New York?
Probably not until like 5 because my daughter wants to shower after her workout. It's very annoying, but I understand it.
Hold on. So you have to go all the way home just so she can take a shower before the road trip?
Remember, I have my root canal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I go home. Mm-hmm. Then I got to take her to her workout spot.
Yeah.
And then she wants to go home, shower, before we sit in the car for 6 hours.
I would lobby hard for here's some deodorant. Here's a change of clothes.
I agree.
Shower when we get there and save us. You're going to save an hour.
By gym?
Doing that.
Don't they have a shower?
It's like a workout facility. I don't know if they have a shower.
Yeah, I mean, they might have a locker room.
Yeah, it's not like a Gold's Gym or anything.
I would go stinky. But that's just me.
But you're a guy.
I am a guy. This is true.
It's totally different for girls.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be in the car watching it. It just sucks.
Just watching it on your laptop or your phone?
I guess my laptop. I need to bring a power inverter.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what that is?
No.
You got to have a power inverter. So you put it in your car, your power thing in your car.
Yeah.
And then it has plugs.
Okay.
It's like an extra thing you put in, like an adapter.
Hmm.
So like, you know how your car jack has your cigarette thing or whatever they have, whatever your power
I don't
thing.
Know if they make those. Do they have cigarette lighter?
Whatever
outlets?
They have. You put your plug in there.
Okay.
Do the modern cars not even have that? What does a
cigarette
BMW
lighter?
What does a BMW have now?
I don't think they have those anymore.
So how am I going to plug in my power inverter?
I don't know.
They don't have those things?
I don't think current vehicles have a cigarette lighter button. I think that's
you know
old
what I'm
school.
Talking about? Yeah. They don't have that in a modern car.
I don't know what a power inverter is.
They just have USB little connectors, don't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but they might have some inverter that connects to a USB.
Oh. I got to get a USB power inverter.
Okay, whatever that is.
Paint. It's a power inverter so that you can plug like a computer in.
Okay.
You never seen that, Cakes?
No.
Where you could plug a 3-prong outlet into your car?
Nope. I mean, I've just never used one.
Yeah. You've
never
done that?
Never heard of it, never seen it.
We used to.
No idea. It's a foreign concept to me.
No, they make them. They're adapters.
I don't know. I believe you. Yeah. I've just.
We used to do it. We would play poker in a car while we were driving.
Oh, poker.
That's not safe.
I got my attention.
I'd sit in there, somebody else would drive, and we would play poker. You know what I mean? While you're driving to the beach or something. You know?
So you're heading to New York, correct?
I'm headed to Ithaca, New York.
All right, so this is a different part of New York. This is New York City.
All right.
So if you went to New York City and you can have your son Stevie try this.
All right.
Would you be willing to try the new delicacy that I guess is all the rage in New York City?
Let me guess, it's like cow balls or something. Or
no. JP, can you translate the name of this restaurant for us? La Casa del Cuy. C-U-Y. Can JP pull that?
I mean, it's the house of, and I'm not sure what C-U-Y is.
Well, even house, I knew that.
The house of guinea pig.
Ooh.
Guinea pigs in Corona, Queens, they serve the rodent whole. Whole. So they put a skewer through the bad end.
There's no way.
And it comes out through the head. And here's the crazy part. Do you know how much one of them costs?
It's a delicacy. For a guinea pig?
At La Casa del Cuy.
If I wanted to eat a guinea pig, $20.
$110.
Why?
Is it tender? Silly?
People are saying it's better than chicken, better than rabbit, according to the manager of La Casa del Cuy.
I've had rabbit before.
I have no interest in rabbit.
I've had rabbit once. I don't know if I'd be interested in eating something that I've had in my house before
as a pet. Yeah,
I think I might have to draw the line at that
rabbit
point.
I've had it before. It didn't taste that
rabbit.
Different from chicken.
But you know what? This is probably surprising to a lot of people. This doesn't really surprise me because my wife has worked in PG County for a long time. She worked in a highly Latino area where a lot of kids come from either Latin America or Central America or South America. And she's told me that some of the families have eaten guinea pigs before. So I've heard of this.
Never heard of it.
Didn't realize
so, and this
it was
is
such
regulated,
a delicacy.
So this is like legit, like health inspectors say or whatever, it's fine. You could serve guinea pig.
I guess.
I mean, we eat duck. I mean, that seems kind of weird, right? I like duck.
So it says in the article, importing the South American animal in bulk is not a cakewalk. After getting flown in frozen from a small farm in Ecuador, they have to be processed at customs, which apparently can be time-consuming. So I guess that's part of the reason why it costs $110 to eat a guinea pig in Queens.
I think Patricia DeLima has had this before.
Oh, she has. Patricia from El Zol, our sister station.
Hola. Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
How are you?
Good. Hungry.
Hungry for guinea pig?
Hungry for guinea pig.
Really?
Is that really good?
Yes.
They charge
Has
so
Chepe
much.
Has Chepe had guinea pig?
No.
It smells like a guinea pig. We go to the bathroom sometimes when Chepe's done.
I don't know. I haven't smelled him. Yeah. You guys have.
We have, yeah, unfortunately.
I've smelled Chepe. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to eat Chepe. Yeah, but I do like to eat guinea pigs.
Really?
How many times have you had it in your life? Just one time.
Was it expensive?
No, in Peru, it's okay.
Well, I guess you just grab one off the street and throw it on your grill.
I don't know.
But I think they do have them
as a pet in their house.
Okay. And then they just eat them when they're hungry.
Exactly. That's how we do chickens here.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of weird.
I do like eating like weird stuff.
What's the weirdest thing you've eaten besides, like, I mean, if you've eaten guinea pig, you've obviously eaten some other weird animals.
My eggs.
What?
My egg. Let's see.
A fun girl.
Yeah, she's a fun girl, huh?
Yeah.
You guys, I had bunnies.
Bunnies, okay.
Yeah. Rabbits.
Rabbit.
What is rabbit in Espanol?
Conejo.
Conejo?
Yeah. Okay. But I haven't eaten bad bunny yet. Oh, yeah.
Could be next. Man, this is going down a road. I didn't think it would be going down.
Let's stick with the guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Well, I have to go back on air.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
Okay.
You should try the guinea pigs.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Love you. For $110.
Patricia, fun gal. Look at her.
There's a lot of stuff going on there, huh? I mean,
she actually had to get dumped.
Yeah, I mean, twice. Impressive.
Is Bad Bunny? I barely know what the guy looks. Is he some handsome dude or is he just famous?
I don't think he's ugly, a regular looking guy.
Yeah, he looks normal.
He's a normal guy. Yeah.
He's got a nose ring, I think. He looks a lot better when you look at his bank account.
Right, that's what I'm wondering. you know,
it certainly enhances things.
Hey, that was a
wild girl. Wow. Bring her in next week.
Yeah, I was not expecting that.
If the Commanders lose and it's kind of dead in here, we'll bring Patricia in.
Sure.
Play 20 questions with her. We can play some old games with her.
Oh, yeah. You can play a lot of old games
with
her.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think I know what I would choose. I know what my choice would be.
Bad Bunny, EB.
But not more.
Blind.
Yeah.
Just go
blind there. He's had a million hairstyles.
It's hard for me to tell. I mean, I guess he looks like a decent looking guy, but I don't like his hair. I don't like that hairstyle.
All right, coming up next, we're going to pivot away from Patricia, because that was wild. Dave Richard will join us, 800-636-1067. You can call in now with your fantasy football questions for Week 11. Dave Richard from CBS Sports will join us next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between with 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack. You'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.